our plan for this closing meditation of the retreat is to concentrate on the closing meditation of the spiritual exercises, namely what St. Ignatius calls the contemplation for obtaining divine love. The contemplation for obtaining divine love. Throughout the exercises, throughout this short retreat, throughout our lives here on earth, the one underlying theme, the foundation of everything else, is our love of God. The purpose of this meditation is to grow in our love for God. And consequently, we do this in three parts. First, we ask ourselves, what is love? As we've said so often, if there is one word that has been misused, abused over the centuries of human history in every language, it is the word love. What does it mean to love? To love means to give. However, let us be clear. To love means not only giving in words, telling someone, I love you. True love means giving in deeds. True love means giving, not just verbal expressions of affection. True love means giving what I have to the one or ones whom I claim to love. Time again, our Lord in the Gospel insisted that love is deeply interior. However, that love must be shown, and then we repeat, in action. We are still on part one. What is love? Love means not only giving, but giving mutually. It is both giving to the one I claim to love and the one who claims to love me, giving to me. As St. Ignatius puts it, the lover gives and shares with the beloved what he possesses. His mutual sharing is not only or mainly a human saying something tangible, something weighable, something sensibly perceptible. It is especially giving what we have from the interior of our being. In other words, it is sharing what we have in the depths of our souls. One more question. What is love? Here the love of God. It is a mutual sharing. God giving us what except for his love, I don't see we would not have, we would not even be. Our very existence is a manifestation of God's love. Then we in turn, if we claim to love God, then we return to him what he has given to us for one fundamental purpose, that we might return what he has given to us and do so with that free will, which is the deepest mystery on earth, the mystery of loving by giving what we have. And I repeat, the dearest and deepest possession we have is ourselves, and within ourselves, our sweet, oh, so sweet wills. So much for part one. As I mentioned during the retreat, I'd recommend all of you reading the Confessions of St. Augustine, the story of his life before his conversion, then his conversion, and then his total dedication to the service of God. And he was converted the moment he realized, Augustine, you have a free will. A two-sentence quotation from Augustine, speaking to God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. No happiness on earth, none, except in the measure that we surrender our hearts to the heart of God. Then he saw Augustine speaking to God, late and I love thee, O beauty so ancient and so new, late have I loved thee. How we need to wake up while we are here in this valley of tears. We are here to surrender our hearts to the God, except for whose love for us we would not even exist. That's part one of our closing meditation. Part two. Gratitude is the foundation and model of our love for God. How this needs to be repeated and reemphasized. We love in the measure that we recognize how much we are loved. And this is where, every day, during the day, we should reflect on the wonderful things that God keeps giving to us. In other words, our love for God must be nourished by our realization of God's love for us. Gratitude is the food of love. Gratitude is the nourishment of love. Gratitude is the foundation of love. We shall love God only on the measure and with a depth that we are grateful to all that God has given, is giving, and as our faith tells us, promises to give us into the endless centuries of eternity. There is no way we can measure or count the goodness of God to us. As we kept repeating, love is giving, and giving without expecting anything in return. Talk about God's love for us. God is infinite being. God not only does not need anything we can give him. If God needed anything, he would not be God. Except for his love for us, this would be an empty chapel. But the secret is to reflect every day and during the day of the blessings, the favors, the gifts, the generosity of God in our daily lives. In my own native language, I never spoke English at home. In my native language, the word for grace is love. How grateful we should be for the graces that God has given us, keeps showering upon us, and promised to continue giving us until we reach our heavenly home. God has not only been giving us so many things, beginning with our own existence. But Ignatius reminds us to tell those making the exercises, God not only gives us something, and then as it were, throws it in our direction. No. God dwells in everything which he gives us. Except for the divine presence in every creature, that creature would not exist. Then I ask myself, if, better since, the God who out of love not only gives me creatures, but dwells within the creatures that he keeps giving me. I ask myself, how totally, how heartfully am I putting my heart into what I am giving back to God? What a difference. What a mountain of difference between giving someone something and putting my heart totally, entirely into what I am giving. Of course, if I'm going to practice this self-giving of, well, my will to the divine will of God, I must keep having God on my mind. Hear it. And please, whatever you forget from these days, don't forget. We give ourselves to God with our hearts only on the measure that God is on our minds. Who? What a rhetorical question. Who is always on our minds? No coincidence. Over the years, I've asked people in different countries, I've yet to find another language spoken by man that capitalizes the first person pronoun, I. Now the Germans, it. Now the Latins, ego. But in English, I. How spontaneously we are led to what I don't hesitate calling self-adoration. I would have God on my mind if God will be in my heart. And having taught for so many years, so many students, I call one of my Jesuit scholastics, ask him a question. As I've said so many times, so often, not only did he not know the answer, he did not even hear the question. We are lost in self-adulation, self-admiration, self-affection. I have 10 A's, and the last A is self-adulation. Keep God on your minds, otherwise you will not be able to have Him in your hearts. We go on. This God not only has loved us, God continues not just loving us, but, what a strange verb, God continues laboring, working for us. And change the pronoun, working for me. I'm quoting St. Ignatius. As far as human language allows us to make this sentence, God works and labors for me in all the creatures upon the face of the earth. Unquote, St. Ignatius. God provides us with the sun, moon, and stars. He provides us with the breath that we breathe. He provides us with every morsel of food that we eat. God is exercising His infinite loving power in everything, as we casually say, that enters our lives. Then I ask myself, how much effort do I put into what I am doing for God? Hear it. What an examination of conscience we should daily make. Do I really exert myself? Do I labor at what I am doing for God? Over the centuries, cynics have defined work as that which we would rather not be doing if we could be doing something else. That's not Christianity. How we need to ask ourselves, and not just now, but every day, how much have I exerted myself? There I am, the verb, how much have I exhausted myself? Oh, what a retreat I could give on the one, I think, most neglected capital sin, the sin of laziness. My friends in Europe tell me, our social scientists, I'm quoting, describe the United States, I'm quoting, as the laziest nation on earth. Father, all kinds of labor-saving devices. I still remember my mother using, have you ever heard of it? A washboard. Do you know what a washboard is? All we need, beginning with a speaker, to ask ourselves every day, how much do I exert and even exhaust myself in my alleged love of God? In all of these reflections, I remind myself of these gifts of God's love for me are so many blessings and gifts that I might use with my free will out of love for Him. I have a quotation from St. Thomas Aquinas. We are led to give thanks to God because, seeing that God is the creator of all things, it is certain all that we are and all that we have keeps coming from God. Over the years in teaching theology, I've told my students, be sure you remember that God has a free will. Within the Trinity, the three persons do not love each other with a freedom which either may or may not exercise. But outside of the Trinity, everything which God does, He does with His divine free will. That's why we have a free will to choose to use our wills to show our gratitude to the God who keeps loving us so dearly by, and I mean it, giving ourselves entirely back to the God, except for whom he would not even exist. Now part three of this closing meditation. It is the famous prayer which in Latin begins with the verb suscipe. In the not quite 10 minutes left in his meditation, we shall reflect on this prayer. I trust you'll have a copy. I don't have a copy of the English in my hands. Can I borrow a copy? Thank you. What I want is a copy of the Take, O Lord, and Receive. Do you have that? You know what I did? I called Detroit, asking to find a copy of Writing on the Spiritual Life. Or do we have a copy? In the back of the chapel, too? I have a copy. Or do we have a copy? Whatever else you forget from this retreat, remember this imperative. Write. Spelled in English, W-R-I-T-E. Write. Back to the third part of our meditation. The Latin begins with suscipe, which in English is translated, take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty. There should really be two verbs, take, O Lord, and receive. What are we saying? We are giving back to God what he has so generously given to us. And notice, we say, take, O Lord, and receive. One word in Latin, but the English words must be two. To receive here means giving to God our entire liberty. Whereas take means surrendering everything over which we have voluntary control. It is not just our liberty called liberty. It is everything over which our free will has mastery. Like what? Like our thoughts. We think what we want to think. Like our words. We say what we want to say. As I keep telling people, we all have voluntary muscles. our hands and our feet, lest be used. You used your voluntary muscles of your legs, you wouldn't be here, neither would I. Take all I receive, we tell God, all my liberty. And once we say that, we have said everything. Everything else in the Sushipe is synthesized in that first sentence. Sushipe Domine, universum libertatem meam. Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty. Then, to make it clear to us, we then identify, parcel out everything over which we have voluntary mastery. Take my memory. Oh, what an important resolution in this retreat. Master with your free wills, your memories. How spontaneously, without a second thought, certain memories of the past keep coming back. Are all our memories pleasing to God? No. Over the years, with apologies for saying this, one of my many distinctions between men and women, for women to forgive, they must also forget. Am I clear? Take my understanding. Oh, the millions of hours spent in our universities and colleges in the United States, learning everything, as I keep repeating, from azymes to zygotes. But the main purpose for having a mind to understand is to understand our faith. And I've told this to my Jesuit students over the years, my brethren in Christ, as I call them. The laziest faculty of human nature is the mind. You will do anything but think. Think about God. My favorite definition of meditation. Thinking about God. You have God on your mind. And the more God is on your mind, the more deeply you will understand who He is and how deeply He loves you. You tell our Lord, take my entire will. Let's be clear. There are three levels to the human will. There is a level of desire, there is a level of choice, and there is a level of love. My entire will, Lord, take my desires. How much we have to use our freedom to master our desires. To desire not what we want, but what God wants. What God wants is what we need. To master our choices. Dear Lord, only the devil could have invented the term pro-choice. Only the devil. Well, the implication is, I choose what I want. How we need to surrender our choices and do that daily. And before you retire at night, examine the choices you've made. And among the choices, let me tell you, are the amount of time we've given to, well, what we like. Oh, what cheaters we can be. How stingy and using our time to do God's will, and how lavish and spending our times in doing what we like. Then let me tell God, take my entire will, take my loves, plural. My favorite description of love is sustained choice. You wise, you married, not being pastoral work, I've had less than 40 weddings in my whole priestly life. The Austin priests laugh at me when I tell them. So they had more marriages in 1 year than I've had in 50 years. Well, the few marriages that I've assisted at. Oh, the raptures. Oh, but ecstatic joy on the wedding day. You add 6 weeks, make it 6 months, or at most 6 years. Wives have called me up. Well, I'm not exaggerating. From her honeymoon. Why didn't somebody tell me? Oh, the price we have to pay to surrender to God our entire will in loving those who, at least in our imagination, we don't think either love us or don't love us enough. What bargainers we can be with our love. Whatsoever I have or hold, you have given me. I give it all back to you and commit it and trust it wholly, entirely to be governed by your will. And the key word is that adverb, entirely. Look. On paper, I'm supposed to be giving this retreat to you, but there's no one in chapel who needs this retreat more than I. How we need to surrender, give up whatever we want to the will of God. Already we must be to endure. Endure by embracing what God wants us to suffer, because I never tire But not until my last conscious moment tell people the price of love is pain. Accepting, not strong enough. Embracing the cross in our lives. Why? Because a love of the God out of love for us. On his cross, and is inviting us to die on our cross out of love for him. Your love and your grace, give to me. And having with these, I am rich enough and ask for nothing more. But here's the secret. God made us to be happy. And happy not only in the life to come, happy here on earth. Very happy. Deeply happy. And the secret of happiness is not in getting. The secret of happiness is in giving. The secret of happiness is in giving up. The secret of happiness is in giving in. And God's love, I assure you, can be very, very demanding.